Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's Johnny.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. Happy Saturday. I hope you are doing great. On June 21st, the Giants go down. Got a lot on that. Never story is much bigger it is in Boston than it is here. It's like, look, he's a member of the Giants. We just want to start him to start hitting and being comfortable. We don't care how it ended. It's kind of like any relationship. It's like, I don't know how your last relationship ended, but we're good until you do it again. But anyway, lost last night. We'll get into that as well. We got a chalkboard for you, which is chock full of good stuff. We will do roll call in mere minutes. Do want to tell you, by the way, to make sure that you are subscribed. And on Saturdays, we kind of lessen it down to who we broadcast to. So we're, of course, on John Lund Unleashed. Come on over and make sure you subscribe. Have those alerts on. Hit us with the like. That would be outstanding. The Bay Area Sports Collective, which is my show. And then a bunch of former KNBR folks and some people that are just flat out awesome. So it's my show, John Lund Unleashed. It is Tom Tolbert, of course, former KNBR. It is Holly Mack and Creative Tony, former KNBR. It is also Rod Brooks and Quality Hang, and awesome to have Amy G and former Giants pitcher Jeremy Affeldt. So that big B in the corner, that left-hand corner right there, that is Bay Area Sports Collective. So make sure that you subscribe not only here at John Lund Unleashed, but on the Bay Area Sports Collective as well. Good morning to those on X at John Lund Radio. I'm always over on X. So if you've got questions, comments, thoughts, you can hit them at X or right underneath the show right here in the comments section. And for all things Unleashed, please, if you would, go to johnlundunleashed.com. We've got archives, podcasts of the show, also YouTube shows, blog going on there, all sorts of different stuff. So that is the place to go, johnlundunleashed.com. Do remember our fine sponsor, that is Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, right there in San Ramon, California, right in the East Bay. Make that drive over to the East Bay if you're not already here. My wife, as I tell you, and you can click on that QR code for an appointment that's right in front of your face. My wife has the elbow, the shoulder. She's had her foot. Dr. Reappell, he's one of the first in California to do stem cell, and she is feeling absolutely positively incredible. If you've got pain, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this, Dr. Reappell can help. It has been a minor miracle for my wife. I am doing the low T with Dr. Reappell. I've been doing it for about a year now with Dr. Reappell, and I have done it for years where, you know, you're just feeling sluggish, your metabolism slows down, those things that happen when you get a little bit older. And I was doing weekly shots for it, though. And with Dr. Reappell, what I do is I do a blood test just every, I don't know, 4 months. And then you do a quick procedure and you're good to go. So you don't have to do anything. And it is absolutely great. He is 100% professional. So if you did not get to the QR code, very simple. All you have to do is look it up. So check it out. Use your favorite search engine and check out Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, Reappell Sports Medicine. And those aren't just the two procedures. Like, they just don't do two things. You look great. You feel great, men, women. Just check out the website, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, and he can hook you up. And please, this is very important. Make sure that he knows that I sent you over. He will treat you extra special. Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, thanks for his sponsorship for John Lund Unleashed. Episode 172, the Giants dropped the opener against the Red Sox. This happens in waves this year for the Giants. I'm not down on them. We'll give you the standings in just a second. But you lose 2-1, you win 2-1, you lose 3-2, and then you finally get some runs and you can't hold that. I'm going to go down to this part where it says don't want to see. I'm going to do a roll call on players I don't want to see for the Giants anymore this year. Thank you very much. Because last night was a perfect example. You're not going to burn everybody out. I understand that. But certain guys that are coming out of the pen or did last night, certain players that are being counted on. I talk about this, I feel like, every single day. I guess the organizational depth just isn't better than Christian Koss. Love of God. I personally haven't seen two players hit into double plays with the bases loaded and nobody out in my life twice in one game. I mean, the at-bats are atrocious. it's not just the results. A lot of times you can say, he's got a hard hit, hard ball hit rate or whatever, and it's just bad luck. It's not bad luck. He just sucks. And he just tells you what that kind of player on your roster just tells you about your organizational depth. Second base has become what first base was when Lamont Wade Jr. was here. Second base is a friggin' black hole for the Giants now. So anyway, sorry to deviate off that. But the Giants dropped the opener. Devers, we'll get into Jeff Passan if you did not see his piece. And again, I don't think Giants fans are overly worried about it other than what has to do with the Giants. Wow, you left the Red Sox. You got pissed off. You didn't get along with the front office. It happens time and time again. Hayden Birdsong, and I've been singing his Birdsong praises the entire season and saying that he could be the answer for the number three slot in the rotation. And he's just, his last couple of starts, it's like he just loses it. And it's not a slow process. With some guys, it's like, okay, he's getting tired. Birdsong just loses it, and it's ugly. So anyway, don't want to see Tucker. I'll explain what that means. There was a catch by a Cubs pitcher, Matthew Boyd, yesterday that honestly, I'm not just saying this, might have been the best catch I've ever seen a pitcher make on a comebacker. It was unbelievable. And then his dad's in the stands, which is pretty funny as well. And random things happen throughout the show on this Saturday. Doesn't matter if it's Monday through Friday or Saturday. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting up with us today. I really, really appreciate it for episode 172. Let's say good morning to everybody. Tommy Huxley was here early. Hi, Tommy. Good to see you, man. Christopher is one of our Lund loyalists, and he's a great guy. By the way, Christopher, I got to do a chat again. That was fun hanging out, man. DC is here this morning. Kyle, good morning. It is awesome to see you. Fozzie, hello. By the way, we have our first super. That gives me an excuse to say, listen, if you want your questions, comments, or thoughts on the show, 100% guaranteed, hit me with a super. And we can talk about any question, any comment. Bird poop and the pig pen were atrocious. We will get into that today. And look, I'm nothing. I try to be 100% honest because my station doesn't carry the Giants anymore. I don't carry the Niners anymore. The Warriors were never really good to us in my time at KMBR. By the way, what's funny is when I left 95.7 the game, that's when the 40-year relationship with KMBR and the Warriors came to an end. I literally went like this, like ships in the night. They went to 95.7. I went to KMBR, and they've just never been good to us since they've been so good. And that's kind of how it happens with teams is when they don't need you, they're like, whatever. And then when the Warriors lose Steph Curry, they'll be begging for us to have guys on. But that's just kind of how the things go. But anyway, you don't need to know about that. What I'm saying is that I'm going to be 100% honest. Birdsong just didn't get it done, and it's just weird. It's not that, oh, my God, he's thrown 120 pitches, and he's tired. Nobody throws 120 pitches, but you get my idea. He's throwing 100 pitches, and he's really tired. It could be the second inning. It could be the third inning. It could be the fifth inning. It could be the first inning. He just loses it. The first seven hitters of the game didn't have a freaking clue against Hayden Birdsong last night. It was like, what is this guy throwing? This is ridiculous. And then three hits in a row, double, homer, single. The third one almost took his head off. It was like, and he just loses it. I don't know if it's, he needs to get with the sports psychologist of the Giants or whatever, but it's kind of like my golf game. Like, I'll be golfing along. I'll be decent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not Tiger Woods. I'll be all right, and I'm feeling good about myself. Maybe I pop a beer or a cocktail or whatever, and then all of a sudden, and I can't get it back. That's how most golfers are, and that's what Hayden Birdsong is doing right now, where he's rolling, he's kicking ass, he's rolling, it's everything's good. And then all of a sudden, man, one pitch, one play, whatever the case may be, gets into his head, and he loses confidence. And this is a guy that throws 98 miles an hour, has a ridiculous break on his pitches, should have all the confidence in the world in what he's doing. He's a young player. That's just the way it goes. It doesn't mean that I don't think that he's going to be a really good player in this league. It's just, man, when you're going for it and you go get a Devers, you're expecting to say, hey, man, let's roll. Let's rock and roll right now. And he just loses it, man. And you don't know when it's going to happen. And then that forces you into the pen. And I get it. You don't want to burn out the bullpen right now. So you're not using the regular guys every single night because Randy Rodriguez and, especially at the back end of the bullpen, you don't want to burn those guys out. It's a long season. I understand that. But, man, some of the guys that are rolling out of the pen last night, it's like, really? There's a couple in particular. It's like, I don't want to see you anymore. Like I said, we'll go down to don't want to see here in a little bit. But there's a few guys in that pen where it's like, enough. Like, enough of that guy. Like, seriously, there's got to be somebody better at AAA. There's got to be somebody on some minor league roster, somebody better than Joey Lucchese. For the love of God, really? I mean, I can hit those pitches. He telegraphs everything he throws. It's like, my God, it's ridiculous. He's terrible. Anyway, all right, let's get to everything. The Giants dropped the opener. I do have a box score for you that we can go over very, very, very quickly and see what's going on here. Standings. There we go. Right there, box score. So a couple of different things stand out. The Giants, even when they were scoring last night, were getting a little bit lucky in that whole thing. Ramos is still hitting. I think that Devers is probably pressing. I mean, he had a strikeout last night. He didn't have horrible at bats. He hit one into left center field that wouldn't have been a home run at Fenway Park either. But it was a deep drive. And, you know, I don't think he's getting frustrated. He's hitting, as you see, he's not hitting 188 overall. He's hitting 188 as a Giant. And I don't know why they even do that stat, because everybody plays everybody. So it's not like, you know, they used to do where you go over to a new league and they start over again with your batting average. But for all our purposes, he's hitting 188, which isn't dandy. And obviously, I think he's pressing a little bit. And then you start looking at the lineup. We talk about this all the time. Yastrzemski's okay. Ramos is having great at-bats right now. Flores, what can you say? Jung-Hoo Lee is lost right now. Adames, all season long, it's been like this. But he looks like he's having better at-bats. Give Casey Schmidt a little bit of credit. He's frustrating. He's an ultimate roller coaster player where he can look great 1 minute and terrible the next. Patrick Bailey, 3 walks last night. Koss, we'll get to a little bit later. Fitzgerald had a completely terrible at bat, and Wisely was just a pinch runner last night. As far as pitching is concerned, like I said, Birdsong through the first 7 hitters was awesome. Just absolutely great, as good as you could be. And then he completely just lost it. Sean Jelly will speak of. Eric Miller's having an incredible season. Joey Lucchese, what would you say you do here? I know you just got here and everything, but it's not only that he's got a 13.50 ERA in very, very limited time, to be fair, but it's just, you can watch a player and just be like, this guy's got nothing. I mean, he's throwing up nothing up there, and it's, you can see it coming, whatever it is. And it's just not good. Ryan Walker is trying to work himself back. I know that Bivens has good numbers and he was good last night. I just don't love him, but essentially what they did in a 7-5 game last night is they didn't want to burn their best stuff. Outside of Walker and Miller, they didn't really use the heart of their bullpen last night. Guys like Bivens, Lucchese, Jelly. I'm not saying Birdsong was great, and I'm not saying it's the bullpen's fault, but you're holding your breath for a lot of these guys. This guy they pitched last night, Dobbins, he sucks. And for them not to get more from this guy, he was struggling a ton out there, and the Giants hitters bailed him out. There were a couple of at-bats where he was struggling and the Giants hitters swung at first pitches. It's like, look, the guy hasn't thrown a strike in 6 straight pitches and you go up there and you swing at the first pitch. What are you doing? Like, I get it. You're a professional. This isn't Little League and you don't have to tell little Jimmy to, you know, to take on the first pitch, but shouldn't that just be a given? So not great at-bats last night against a pitcher who, to me, in the Dobbins, he was not impressive at all. Bullpen did a great job for Boston last night. Look at all those zeros under runs. Dobbins, they should have gotten to a lot more than they did. And then last night, as far as the killer, man, look at the center fielder for the Red Sox. Like, he's a good friend of Devers. 3 hits last night, the home run. He had a ringing double. I mean, the dude was just on it last night. So that's what killed the Giants right there. So 7-5, they lose it. If you're going to play the blame game, just wasn't very good. I mean, bottom line is Birdsong just wasn't very good. The bullpen right after that, not very good. And a lot of bad at-bats from the sticks last night, and that leads to a 7-5 loss. Now, as far as the standings are concerned, let me share that with you very quickly. It's not as maybe bad as you think, because we can go straight into the – let's see. Let me give you this right now, because I was just looking at this because I'm like, I didn't even check the standings in a couple of days. I'm like, you know, they're 4-6 in their last 10. Things aren't looking like, what's going on here? What's everybody else doing? So American League, whatever. These are the top 3 in the division: Dodgers, Phillies, Cubs. There are for real. Mets aren't going anywhere, so that's your first wild card, and you're still sitting there in the second wild card spot. The thing that's interesting to me is the Padres have not been great lately. They're 3-7 in their last 10, as you can see right there. The Brewers surprised me. They don't have a whole lot, but there they are. Every single year they lose guys, they're still good. Cardinals are hanging around. Padres are hanging around. Cincinnati now is plus 500. Look right there. I still think the Braves could make a run. All these teams are out of it. Probably the Braves are out of it. But again, 74 games into the season, we still got half. So I can't count out the Braves, Diamondbacks, Reds, Padres. So as always, it's going to be a dogfight. You're 34 losses. And again, I tell you this all the time. You cannot erase losses, you can gain wins. So I just look at the loss column. So 34, 35, 35, 35, 37, 37. So you got all these teams within three games of what you're doing. So the Giants need to get it going. And it's not up to Buster Posey. He did what he could do. Now it's about getting over, really, to me, just, okay, Devers is new. It takes a minute. I get it. He's a middle of the order guy. There's an expectation level there. Get this out of the way. This is going to be a major thing because Red Sox media is just going to constantly ask about Devers, how it ended. I watched the press conference before the game yesterday, and I counted at least eight times where he had to tell the Boston media, I'm not in some way, shape, or form. Okay, I'm not doing it verbatim, but in some way, shape, or form, eight different times he said, I'm not talking about the exit. I'm not talking about how he left Boston. I'm not going to talk about it. I don't wish to talk about it. I'm happy here in San Francisco. .. Why you didn't play first base? How you left? The meeting in Kansas City, which has become a thing, and I'll play this. I'll show you this Jeff Passan piece in just a second. Like all these different ways. So look, that's got to be taxing on a player. And we talk about this all the time. We think that these guys are robots. You pour them out of a locker, go play baseball. It's like, look, he's looking for a place to live. He's trying to figure things out. He's trying to find a place to eat, food that he likes, all these different things that we take for granted. He doesn't know. So, you know, how do I get home? Where? Oh, yeah. What's the way to the club? Like, he doesn't even know the basics yet. And then right away, Boston media comes in and says, what's going on? What's going on? Why did you leave Boston? What happened? Why wouldn't you play first base? Bye, 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 bye. And he's like, damn. So I get it. I get why he's off to a slow start. I'm sure his solitude moment is when he gets to step into the box and just focus on hitting. But, you know, we all, it's like all of us, you know, you got to work on a certain day. If you're hungover, you don't feel good. You're getting divorced. You know, something's wrong with your kid, whatever the case may be, it's going to affect your work. I mean, it's just the way it goes. So right now it's affecting his work, and he doesn't. Here's the other thing too. And DHs say this all the time. We always say to ourselves, man, being a DH would be awesome. All you gotta do is hit. But if you're not hitting, then there's no other way that you can contribute to the team. He's new to the team. He wants to make an impression on the team. Like, I'm sure he was hoping so badly that ball he hit into the left center gap last night would go out of the park just so he could go, like, you know, okay, I got one out of the way. Like, you know, no big deal. Because what starts to happen in this park, and we hear this from players all the time, is that it does get into their head. This park does get into your head. I think it got into Jorge Soler's head. I think it's in Willy Adames' head. Like, new guys come over here that are used to having certain power numbers, and then they smack a ball. And they're thinking to themselves because they know their home yard. So when Rafael Devers hits a ball in Fenway Park or did hit a ball in Fenway Park and he knew he hit the sweet spot, he knew it was gone because he knows the park. He knows the wind patterns. He knows the weather. He knows, you know, he knows the fences. He knows everything. He knows what it feels like when he hits a home run. He doesn't know that here. And so when he hit that one last night, he's thinking that's gone. And then he kind of goes, you know, past first base and looks up and he's like, damn. You know, because he just doesn't know. So he just wants that feeling of, I want to be comfortable again. I want to know where to eat. I want to know that when I hit a certain ball, it's gone. I want to know my teammates. I want to know them to know me. I want to know, you know, they need to know when I'm messing around, where, you know, whatever the case may be, just being comfortable. And I think that's part of the process here for him. I'm not down on the trade or anything like that. Just takes a minute. And when you incorporate someone at this level that is so good, and I don't care what sport it is, it takes a minute. And baseball is an individual sport. It's not like he has to fit within the team offense. You know, if it's basketball, okay, yeah, he's going to dominate the ball. We got to change everything. It's not like football where it's like, okay, we got to get him the ball or, you know, whatever. We got to change a scheme or it's nothing like that. It's an individual sport. That's just what it is. And so he's got to get comfortable. They've got to get comfortable. It's going to take a minute. But it doesn't help that Boston media is in town and saying, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? He's like, oh, God, I just left this. I got to do this again. The Passan piece, Jeff Passan of ESPN, wrote a long form piece on this whole thing. And just so you could get a, let me put my son, I'm going to change this up a little bit. No, that's not good. Right, hold on. Let me make this better so we can see this a little bit better. Is that the best I can do? It's a little bit better. All right, so essentially what he's saying here, and you can read this yourself, but essentially what happened was is that you got to understand there's an ego involved in this, and he's the best player on the team, and he's one of the leaders of the team. And so, and this isn't the first time it's happened. It's only the millionth time it's happened.
player has an ego, agents get involved, all this kind of stuff. So they're pursuing Alex Bregman, and he's a third baseman, or was going to play third base. And they told Rafael Devers, don't worry about it, nothing to see here. If it gets serious, we'll tell you. Well, all of a sudden it gets serious, they don't tell him. And then when he arrives to spring training, they say, well, Bregman's our third baseman, we want you to DH. And he wasn't really happy about it because he was like, I'm a third baseman. That's what I've been working on all offseason. I'm a third baseman. You told me that if you were going to bring in Bregman, you were going to tell me. You didn't tell me. Here I am on the spot on spring training. You told me I'm going to be a DH now. So he's adjusting to be the DH. Then they have an injury at first base, and they tell Devers, you're playing first base. They don't ask him. They say, you're playing first base now. And he's like, wait a minute. You've taken me from third base to DH without telling me when you said you would tell me, and then you're bringing me to first base. I'll play first base, but I need an entire season, which again, this is him just kind of being an ass, but he feels disrespected. And he's saying, look, I'll do it, but I need an off season. So then they bring a guy in at first base who plays first base. They still aren't over things. Essentially, it's a big matter of what he thinks is disrespect, which is I'm the best player on your team. You told me you'd keep me in the loop. You didn't. Then you asked me to change positions again. Alex Cora told him that he didn't even need to bring a glove to spring training. Then they try to make him a first baseman. So basically what it comes down to, and I don't think we care here in San Francisco, to be completely honest with you, is it's a superstar player. We've seen it a million times. It's a superstar player who feels disrespected. You're supposed to keep me in the loop. You move me from third to DH. Now you're moving me from DH to first base. Now look, logic, human being logic between you and I. So I can take this off the screen. It's a big piece at ESPN that you can read. But human logic tells me you're paying me $30 million a year. I don't care. I'll catch and play first base at the same time. I'll play all three outfield positions. You want me to just DH? Fine. You want me to pitch? I don't give a shit. You're paying me $30 million. That's what normal people think. But I tell you this all the time. Sports isn't normal. It's not. You can't comp it. There's so many different things about sports, the money of it, the ego of it, just all of it. We can't understand it, and it doesn't make any sense. And it's not like when I try this all the time. Like I try to comp it to normal life or comp it to normal business or whatever. It's just not like that. So you would think to yourself, well, it's pretty simple. You were playing third base. They brought in somebody else. They needed you to move to DH. They had an injury at first base. They think you can play first base. Play first base. You're getting paid a ton of money. Like logic tells you that. But there is a massaging of the ego. There is a proper way to do things. So what happened here on the bottom line is he got bent out of shape. It probably came from the top, Craig Breslow. He doesn't like the way that he was probably talked to. You will do this. Superstar players don't like that. Explain to me how it's going to help the team. All these different kind of things. He becomes a pain in the ass. There's other things I'm sure that Jeff Passan is not reporting that are part of this deal. It's not just one guy all of a sudden becoming a jerk because he wasn't like that before. And there's someone within the organization, probably Craig Breslow, because we've heard that he doesn't have a great relationship with him. He's their president of baseball operations, and he draws a line in the sand and says, I'm not doing it. Now, I'm not saying it's right just because he's a giant. I'm not saying, well, he's clearly right. I don't know enough about it. But I do know about egos, and I have covered teams, and I've been on beats and things that you just kind of scratch your head at, like me and you and normal people wouldn't give a shit about. We wouldn't care. Like, okay, you're paying me that much. Fine. I'll just do what's best for the team. There's a lot of people like that, but there's a lot of guys that you need to massage their ego. And he's been around that organization long enough to where you know how you have to deal with him. And he just decided, I'm not playing ball with you anymore. And we've been that way too with our, again, I can comp this to normal business. Sometimes you're just like, you know what? I've had it with this company, man. They've asked me to do this. I've done it. They've asked me to do that. I've done it. They're running me around. They're screwing me. Maybe they're cutting my commissions, whatever the case may be. And he just said, you know what? I've had it. And most people from the outside would go, well, it's still a pretty good job, pretty good company. Like, what are you all pissed off about it? Because it's just an accumulation of things that happen. I don't even think it's this one or two things. I'm sure there's things before this. I'm sure he's been turned off by the organization in certain other ways. And it probably, and I'm sure, not probably, it went up above Breslow and went to the ownership group. And I'm sure they're the ones who finally went, we've had enough. Because the owner has a giant ego. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to be pushed around by this guy. And then they have to make a bad deal with the Giants. I'm sure that's how it went down. But in terms of the Giants are concerned, I wanted to bring it up just because it's out there, the Jeff Passan piece. And it would probably be I don't know, irresponsible is too strong of a word, but I mean, it's something that we got to bring up. But the bottom line in San Francisco is we just want him to rake. We just want him to be the player that was like, wow, they got Rafael Devers for that? Huge. Absolutely huge. And I think there's no doubt that it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen maybe starting today. I gave you the odds yesterday of Devers hitting a home run in this series. He almost got hit by a pitch. There was a hit by a pitch. There was home run. It was like, I think the over-under in the series was four hits, which would mean that he'd have to get, you know, a couple of each day. I don't know if he can do that so far. I think he's just putting a ton of pressure on himself to hit a five-run home run every time he's up at the plate, especially against Boston. So it's not so much that he can glare into the dugout at the players. He's fine with the players, and the players are fine with him. It's more so that, and again, I think he's fine with Cora. It's more the front office types. So anyway, it was just interesting. Like I said, at least eight questions formed, not even different ways. Like normally it's formed different ways. Like, okay, let me ask him why he left the Red Sox this way or why he wouldn't play first base this way. They just kept asking him and he kept saying, look, man, I'm not talking about it. So anyway, that's the Devers side of things on the chalkboard for episode 172. There is the Jeff Passan piece. We got that for you. Birdsong, I mentioned briefly, but I'll say it again. I'm real high on the kid. He's got tremendous stuff. I told you this. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He seems very mature and cool and mellow and all those kind of things, and I think he is. But there's something going on, especially over the last few starts, where when he loses it, it's not a little bit, and then he doesn't get it back on track. Like I said, it's my golf game. I hit one into the weeds, then I hit another one into the weeds, then I hit one into the fairway, then I shank one, and then I start drinking heavily, and everything goes downhill. I mean, that's my game. That's my golf game. You know, 7-8 holes, I'm looking good. Well, the first seven pitchers, let's call those his holes, the first seven pitches or seven batters, he's golden. And then from there, it was like, what the hell just happened right there? And he just loses it mentally. So, you know, I mean, he's losing release points. His pitches aren't doing what they're supposed to do. I think he loses confidence. He's not challenging hitters. Last night, it was just balls up in the zone. I mean, the just location of pitches last night, if you go back and you look, and you don't need to because I'm telling you, the location of pitches last night, especially for those three. So when they went double home run and rocket back up the middle, boom, 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 the three in a row, that was all location. They were terrible pitches. They were located terribly. And you're thinking to yourself, how do you go through seven hitters where you are, you know, you're Nolan Ryan, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, like a position player pitching. I mean, it was just the location of the pitches were horrible. So he was not good last night. I'm defending him a ton. I've sat there and said, man, he's going to solidify the number three spot. And all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Birdsong, man, you are rolling. Uh-oh. And that means, you know, Landon Roop has got to be more consistent, or Mr. Verlander has got to get back on it. By the way, here's Verlander right now. Second child with Kate Upton. There you go. That was, of course, World Series. But welcome their second child. So he'll be back in a few days. But all of a sudden it becomes like, okay, it'd be nice if Verlander could be a kind of consistent number five. You got to find a three. And I'm not saying you got to trade for one, because I do think they have enough organizational depth pitching-wise, where they don't position-wise, but they think they do pitching-wise. Because remember at the beginning of the season, in the offseason, end of the offseason, I was like, well, who else is out there? Like a guy like Jack Flaherty, who did such a great job with the Dodgers last year after coming over from the Tigers. Now the Tigers are awesome. They're not trading him anywhere. But I thought, do they have enough depth in that rotation? And at the beginning of the season, you're like, okay, they do. But the one thing, and I'm not saying that the Harrison trade was wrong, because it's not. It's awesome trade. It's going to go down in history as a very lopsided trade in my mind in favor of the Giants. But from a stamp, the only negative that comes from it right at this very moment is depth in the pitching staff. So if Birdsong is not all that, and if Verlander doesn't come back and pitch a little bit better, and if Roop can't be a little bit more consistent, you lost Harrison, which, again, I think Harrison's going to be a four or a five or a reliever in this league, but you lost his depth at least short term, and you lost Hicks' depth at least short term. That's all. That's all. You don't have a lot of safety net under the starting pitching right now, because they're looking at, and they saw what I saw and you saw, which is Birdsong's doing pretty good. Verlander could at least be a five. We got Landon Roop. They know that they've got some guys in the, like Carson Wisenhunt, who I can't sit here and say I know a ton about. I've seen the clips and I know the numbers and I know he was pitcher of the week and all those things. But at some point, he's probably going to have to come up here and pitch. We're going to see what he's all about, because they lost Hicks. They lost Harrison. organizational depth as far as the pitching is concerned, and you need six or seven starters to get through a season, maybe more, and they lost those guys. And I don't need to hear about Luke Casey or anybody like that. We're going to get to who I don't want to see anymore in a minute. But Birdsong was shaky, and in the Devers trade, if there's one negative about it, and it's very short term, and I don't know what the organizational depth looks like because we haven't seen enough of it, but they lost Harrison, they lost Hicks. That was depth in their pitching staff. I'd take Devers 100 out of 100 in that trade. But I'm just saying that for the short term, it's not great. Is Verlander washed up? It's a great question. I did a show on it, what, 2 or 3 days ago? And basically I said, is Verlander cooked? That was the front of the show. Is Verlander cooked? I don't know. At times, you look at him and if I have that, you know what I'm going to have to do because you gave me this? Let me go back and see if I can find this because it's ugly. Let me see if I can find this clip on Verlander really quick that I did last week. If I can do it quickly, I'll do it. I'm not going to sit here all day and do it because that, like, you're like, really? Let's see. It would be nice if I labeled these better and I could find them faster. But I did a, I basically, that's all Devers stuff. I did a chart on Verlander and it was not good. It was not good. It's right. It's got to be in here because this is where all the baseball stuff is. Oh, that was yesterday. I'm not going to be able to find it fast enough because I don't want to bore you here. This is like a instant replay, right? It's like, is this ever going to happen? Let me see if I can. I got to find this now. Now I'm getting obsessed with it. We're between like a rabbit hole and I got some good old pictures in here. They're nothing, you know, they're nothing dirty. I'm just, you know, I got some good stuff. These are all clips from the show, but I need to find this Verlander thing now that you brought it up because I'm like, you know, this has got, he's just, yeah, man, come on, man. I got to find this faster. Hang on. Now I'm obsessed with it. Oh, man. Nah, I'm not going to be able to find it in time. Sorry. Doop, doop, doop. No, not going to be able to find it in time. I wish I could. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw a picture of Verlander. No. God dang it. Sorry. I apologize. I thought I could find this a little bit faster. Anyway, point is on Verlander, since you brought it up, yeah, he's going to get elbow tendonitis carrying that second baby. Could be. But, the numbers aren't good. I think he's – what is it? Okay, I'm going to do this off the top of my head. In his last 28 starts, which goes back to last season, he's got a 5-10 record with a 5.08 ERA, I think is what the number is. I think his whip is like 141. I mean, they're just ugly numbers. And so for everybody, you know, everybody's like, well, it's Justin Verlander. Okay, that's one way to put it. Or it's 42-year-old Justin Verlander, who, by the way, is coming off a neck injury last year, and he wasn't very good last year. 28 starts, which is what the graphic said, is that that's almost a full season of starts. I mean, 31 to 33 starts is about what a guy's going to make in a season if he stays healthy. So in his last 28 starts, basically, he's a bottom-level five starter. Is what he is. And at the age of 42, do I expect him to bounce back, you know, to be better than that? Probably not. So, like I said, you got your first two starters that are set. You got Birdsong, who's got to be better. You got Roop, who can be a four. I'm down with that. And then you got Verlander, who's going to be a five, and you cross your fingers that he can stay healthy, because now you don't have, at least the pitching that we know, you don't have a really good swing starter. You don't have a sixth or a seventh starter. Like, please, Joey Lucchese, stop it. And I don't need to see that anymore. So there you go. Don't want to see. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but Joey Lucchese is at the top of the list. He's terrible. I mean, just terrible. So I don't need to see him coming out of the bullpen anymore. Sean Gelly, the beginning of last year, first half of last year, Sean Gelly was really, really good. He's back to just, like I said, you could just see what's coming. He's not effective. He's got a 4.66 ERA, I think, but he just is a guy. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he's he's a terrible relief pitcher, but given how good this relief corps is, he really sticks out. He's just not very good. I mean, this is what it comes down to. I don't need to see Jelly anymore. I don't need to see Lucchese anymore. I don't need to see Christian Kloss anymore. For the love of God, last night comes up two times and hits into double plays with no outs, and they get a run each time, but he kills the inning. Lift the ball, kid. Are you telling me, and I'm sorry I keep saying this, are you telling me that's the best you have? That's the best organizational depth you have. Do what you did with Lamont Wade Jr. Second base is becoming what first base was. Do what you did in the case of Lamont Wade Jr. Go out. There's got to be somebody in some organization that's a veteran that can play second base that can be better than this. There's just got to be. I told you, I gave you a guy for the Orioles right now, 31-year-old guy who's solid. He's not spectacular. The Orioles are out of it. Call him. I know you just made the trade for Devers, but since you did that, the pressure's on. You got to have a professional at second base, man. This is brutal. Brutal. Christian Kloss comes up twice last night, hits into double plays with no outs. Like, what? Just terrible at bats, too. Just bad at bats. And then late in the game, Tyler Fitzgerald, who's hitting a .143 in June and in on the broadcast, and I love both those guys, he's having a tough month. He's having a tough everything. He's nowhere near the player he was a year ago when you looked at him and you said, this is a 2020 guy. This guy would be a great compliment in the infield. I'm not saying he's going to the All-Star game, but, athletic, the Giants need that. Got a little pop in his bat. July, August last year, he's just popping him out like popcorn, just boom, 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 knock him out of the park. Now, maybe he doesn't have that ability, but we've seen it. He's nowhere near that. His at bat last night was atrocious. And like I said, there's a difference, especially nowadays, because of the analytics. We know when you nut a ball and you just get unlucky. He's not unlucky. They're bad at bats. They're non-competitive at bats, one after the other after the other. Like last night was atrocious. Like there's got to be something better than Kloss and Fitzgerald in baseball somewhere that you can acquire. And yeah, I'm absolutely being. I'm like, I want everything. Like, I get it. But when you get Devers, it means there's more pressure. And if I'm Buster Posey, I'm not sitting here and looking at second base like this anymore. There's got to be somebody. Somebody's got to be able to play second base at a higher level than this. And the Chapman injury really hurts you because you could at least try Schmidt there, who's swinging the bat a little bit better. Chapman at third, Schmidt at second, something. But they got to figure something out right away. Because, as we know, Bailey walked three times last night, but Bailey's a zero. And the other zero used to be first base. Now the other zero is second base. Like, it's taking turns. Can't have it. It's atrocious. Ugh. So, no more Kloss, no more Fitzgerald. Figure something out. Do something. Much like you did at first base, at least you brought in Dominic Smith to stop the bleeding a little bit. You got to do the same thing at second. Like, Fitzgerald needs to go down and talk to somebody else. I was like a broken record when it came to Lamont Wade Jr., when it came to first base. I'm like, have him just send him out for a minute. Have him work on his swing. Talk to somebody else. Take some pressure off. That's what Tyler Fitzgerald clearly needs. Bang your head against the wall and see if it changes. Bang, bang, bang. Nope, he's still hitting like this. Bang, bang, bang. Like, it's not working. And I'm telling you, and I said this before, Pat Burrell's ass has got to be on the line. This is a lot of guys that aren't hitting. This is second base, shortstop, catcher. Like, Jung-Hoo Lee's not progressing. Like, this is an organizational problem. And I know that Buster Posey at the press conference said he had a lot of confidence in his hitting guys. If it's one or two guys, they're going through some struggles. I said this before, and it's great that they have Devers, but at catcher, second, short, center, these guys are all playing below their ability as far as the hit tool is concerned. And when you see that as an organization, you've got to start looking at who they're listening to, who they're talking to. And I'm not saying it's Pat Burrell's fault. I'm saying sometimes what you need is a new voice in the room. Sorry, Pat, it's not your fault. You don't, you haven't swung at one pitch this year. You haven't been in the box one time. And maybe you're telling them the right things. And there's an organizational philosophy when it comes to hitting. And all he's doing is reinforcing that and seeing if, there's a few things going on. But I wouldn't even be opposed to like, okay, Barry, I know that you're not officially anything and you didn't like being the Marlins hitting coach. But I don't know if you saw Christian Yelich. Yelich had 8 RBIs last night. And Yelich was giving Barry, like he does this pregame ritual that Barry Bonds taught him. And maybe Bonds will be terrible at this, but could you convince Barry for just half a season to do it? There's so much respect amongst the players. Somebody, something, whatever the case may be. Hey, Barry, we don't want you to do it long term, but the greatest hitter on earth is standing in the cage behind the hitters. I don't know. Could you just put on the uniform for half a year? Half a year. Could you do that for us? Maybe he couldn't. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe they've asked. But whatever's going on within the organization from a hitting standpoint, I know they scored 5 last night, and they should have won that game. Like I said, 4-plus runs, what does that now make them, 29-11? So, I mean, still, when they score 4-plus, but they got to get to the 4. And I know last night they got to the 5, and the pitching let them down, but normally speaking, they're not getting to the 4. And there are too many guys on this roster right now that are hitting below what they should be hitting. And right now, I think Tyler Fitzgerald just needs to go down to AAA, listen to somebody else, take some pressure off, hang out a little bit, take a couple of weeks, rather than continually putting him up there where he's failing and he's losing confidence. Last night was just a bad at bat, and you could see it, man. So anyway, sorry, I'm ranting away. But I don't want to see, as you can see on the chalkboard there, I don't want to see Lucchesi. I don't want to see Jelly. I don't want to see Koss. I don't want to see Fitzgerald. Try again. Ugh, awful. So today, all those players will absolutely be great. Let me get your thoughts before I move on. I'm not really moving on. There's an interesting story that I want to tell you about in just a second. But let's see. Yeah, when Chapman comes back, it's going to be huge because I think what's going to happen here, and thanks, Daniel, what's going to happen is Chapman's going to go to third, and they'll probably move Casey Schmidt to second because he's hitting a little bit better. Yeah, Bailey at the plate hurts, man. It hurts. And so when you see a play like last night, like he had a play last night where he can't get the runner at second, he throws a ball into center field. He's got to be so perfect defensively, does Bailey, and in framing pitches and do all the things to offset how bad his bat is. And at some point, it's just not going to be enough. I mean, I've told you that many times. Martin Maldonado, guys like that. I mean, there's been some great defensive catchers in this league who couldn't hit. And after a while, you're like, I just can't keep a 185 stick with no power in the lineup. And it's just what it is. What's he hitting, 185 with one home run this year? I don't know what his OPS is off the top of my head. It made me so angry, I just stopped. I like the guy, and I get it. I get the defense. I get the pitch blocking. I get the throwing. I get the pitch framing. I get it all. I get it. But at some point, it's like we can't have a complete zero in the lineup. We just can't. And when the robo-umps come, and that's going to be sooner rather than later, three-quarters of his value goes out the window. Like, robo-ump means the end of Patrick Bailey. I mean, that's just what it is. It's like, frame all you want, dude. Robo-ump says that's a ball. You know, it's not going to be fooled. And so when and if, and it's more when than if, the robo-ump comes in, Patrick Bailey's career is basically as a backup at that point, unless he can start hitting. Konnichiwa, Joji. Very nice to see you, my friend. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good call by you, by the way. And it's me leading the charge here. Everyone reacts like a Giants loss is a 49ers loss. Even if the Giants win 90, they lose 72. Sky is not falling. I agree with you. I guess my point in this whole thing, and that's a really good point by you, which is the minute they get Devers, the expectations rise. And so what I was saying before the Devers is, look, this pitching's too good to waste. Starting pitching's great. The relievers are the best in baseball. They're probably top two or three now. I'm a little bit skeptical of the rotation when I see something happen like with Birdsong, but I still think they're going to be fine. I think this is still a really, really good pitching staff. I give Buster a ton of props for doing what he did. They lost a little bit of pitching depth. They must have confidence in the guys that are at AAA and some guys that can come up because they're going to need some pitching depth at some point. So I'm fine with all of those things, and this guy is not falling, and I showed you the standings. They're right there. But the only thing I'm saying here is you have 34 losses. There's four teams within three games, or five teams within three losses of that. So you're not going to be able to cruise. The hitting has got to get going at some point, and even with Rafael Devers, you're below average at second, short right now, third without Chapman. Your center fielder got off to a great start. He's not hitting well. And all I'm suggesting here is as much as I like Pat Burrell, and he was on my show quite a few times, and as much as it's probably not his fault because he doesn't go up to the plate and swing the stick, you need a different voice sometimes. When this many players are not living up to the back of their baseball card, then you've got to do something because there's only so many things. Because let's just throw it back. Lamont Wade Jr. was terrible. Your second base has been a problem. Adames is not getting it done to his normal levels. Patrick Bailey, we don't even need to bring up. Lee has been struggling since a good early start. And I can't say really much about Mike Yastrzemski. He's been good. He had a bit of a dip there for a while where he went into like a 3-for-45, but he's been pretty good as far as what the back of his baseball card is. So I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm just simply saying that when you have a lot of players struggling, then you can't fire all the players, right? And Bob Melvin's not going anywhere. So you look at what you're doing offensively. And like I said, when you have a guy like Barry Bonds around, and look, I don't know what he's doing internally. Barry's always at the ballpark. He's almost assumed the role of what Willie Mays used to do. He's always at the park. So maybe he is sitting down in an unofficial fashion, in an unofficial capacity and saying, look, I'll help everybody. I just don't want to put the uniform on. I don't want to be counted on. I don't want to be counted on to like, oh my God, I got to grind over tape. And I got like, I'll come in, I'll stand behind the cage. I'll give him a few thoughts. I would like a little bit more than that if I were the Giants, but maybe that's all that Barry wants to do. And that's fine. But they, if you don't fire Pat, that's fine. Then bring in another, you know, is there a guru around? Is there somebody around? Is there, you know, Will Clark is around. Like I know Will is going to help Devers at first base. He's in fact, today he's going to work with Devers and Dominic Smith at first base a little bit. And that's awesome. I love that Buster is bringing all these guys back. But again, who had a sweeter swing than Will Clark? All right, Griffey did. But damn, it's a pretty good left-handed swing. So you might want to just, you know, have Will. I mean, you got the resources. Here's Will Clark. And believe me, he's not shy about saying what he thinks. So here's Will Clark. Here's Barry Bonds. I mean, you got some guys around that are going to maybe help a few guys out. So maybe they are doing that. And I just don't know about it. All right, now the Tucker, speaking of a sweet swing, so let me play something for you. My good friend, John Heyman, who, of course, still has me blocked, they were talking about the offseason already, and they were talking about Devers and all this kind of stuff, and now that Boston has cleared that money off their cap or off their payroll, maybe Boston was going to be aggressive in the offseason, but John Heyman sticks another name in there, talking about Kyle Tucker, who was traded from the Astros to the Cubs, but he's a free agent at the end of the year, and the Cubs, I guess, have approached Tucker, but they haven't gotten anything done, and they doubt they'll get anything done during the season. And remember, according to reports, the Giants were in on Tucker. Now, he's probably a guy that's looking at $400-500 million contracts, so could the Giants do that? I doubt it, but let's hear out John Heyman, and then we'll talk about it.
Very difficult to sign up a guy who's about to be a free agent
sure,
of this
that.
Stature. To me, that was a pretty big hint that they're not going to be able to do it in the season. So it's going to have to be after the season. That makes sense. I mean, looking at him, he's not a pitcher. There's no risk. He was a number 5 overall pick. He's made a lot of money. He is one of the most, if not the most, consistent hitter in baseball. So it's going to be very difficult. But the Cubs are, you know, it's a big market team. They're doing very well. They need to give it a try. That said, once the guy's a free agent, he's only been there a year. There are going to be other teams in there. Never count the San Francisco Giants at this point. They look like an aggressive team, as we've seen. And the Red Sox.
Yeah, whatever. I don't want to hear about the Red Sox. What he's saying about the Red Sox is, obviously, financially, they could make a run at Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's from the eastern part of the country, so that would make some sense, blah, blah, blah. And I totally get it. So the Red Sox are going to be players. The reason he brings up the Giants, though, is he said, this is kind of the buzz around the league right now, is that is that they could be even more aggressive, that they could. And look, if you're a big market team, like let's again, I always use the Dodgers a ton. But as far as the Dodgers are concerned, if they got a guy like, you know, it doesn't even matter. I mean, look at what they do. They have Betts. They get Ohtani. You know, they get Freeman. They go, you know, they go after Blake Snell. That's worked out incredibly well for the Dodgers, don't you think? All these, you know, it's just boom, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Now, do they have more revenue than the Giants? Sure they do. But my point is that is Buster Posey really going to be able to shake all these coins loose for Devers, which is a good deal, but it's still $228 million after this year, but it was a really reasonable deal. But could they really be in on Kyle Tucker as well? Like Heyman's just throwing names out there and understand that because they just made this trade for Devers. He's saying, hey, you know what? Maybe the Giants are going to be that aggressive. I doubt they would be that aggressive to go 220, I think it's 226 actually, $226 million for Devers and then turn around and spend, you know, $400 million for Kyle Tucker. I mean, I doubt it. But if they're really going to play major market, can you imagine this lineup with Tucker? Think about this. Let's say that just for the sake of conversation, Bryce Eldridge is good. Eldridge is your first baseman. I don't know what they do at second base. Adamas at short, Chapman at third, Bailey at catcher. But they could handle it if they had this kind of an offensive alignment. Ramos, Lee, Tucker, and Devers as your DH. Oh, my God. Now they couldn't sign anybody for about 10 years. Hopefully they could get, you know, another decent pitcher so they give up the $15 million. On Verlander, that's only a one-year deal, so maybe you can go out and get a pitcher as well. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that's being incredibly, incredibly optimistic to think that they could go after Kyle Tucker as well. But Heyman's just throwing it out there like, well, the Giants look like they're going to be aggressive. I wonder how aggressive they're going to be. I wouldn't get on them for, why aren't they going after Tucker? And they just got Devers. I mean, let's slow down, everybody. I don't know that they're going to go out and say, yeah, we got to get this guy too. We'll see at the end of the year, you know, what Devers does. I think he's going to be fine. But I doubt they're that aggressive after Tucker. Tucker's a $400 to $500 million guy. He's, from a quality standpoint, quality of hitter, he's the same quality hitter as like a Devers. I mean, you'd have two superstars in the lineup, and now you're cooking with gas. Because now you're looking at the Dodgers going, okay, the top of your order is Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. The top of our order is, I don't know, how would you do it? Ramos, you got two lefties there. So Ramos, Tucker, Adamas, and Devers. I mean, that would be if Adamas could get hitting again. I mean, that might be the best top four in an order in baseball. Can you imagine that? Ramos leads off, Tucker hits two. You go right, left, right, left. So Ramos leads off, Tucker hits two, Adamas hits three, and Devers hits four? My Lord. And I don't care who's after that. I mean, you're crushing it. But that's what the Dodgers have right now. You don't have the revenue of the Dodgers. But could Buster Posey in the offseason convince the Giants powers that be, who just opened up their wallet for Devers, to do it for Tucker? That would be unbelievable. I don't know what the lineup would look like after that. Maybe Chapman after that. You know, if you stay on the right left, so Chapman hits five. Let me see, what else do you got in there? Is Wilmer gone after this year? I can't remember. Oh, Eldridge is in there somewhere. I just mentioned Eldridge. Anyway, that would be ridiculous. That would be a ridiculous thing. So he mentioned him. I thought I'd bring it up. I don't think it's overly realistic, but why not? Why not just have some fun, you know? I'd like that. All right. Farhan talk is always fun. Farhan destroyed the Giants for 7 years. You know what's amazing about Farhan is I thought the one thing he would do is replenish the farm system, because that was one of the things, is like, okay, it's going to take a while, but you know what? Farhan's going to help the farm system. And again, I'm not saying that these outlets know exactly what's going on with an organization, but a couple of weeks ago, ESPN had their farm rankings and they had the Giants 29th. It was like Farhan was here, like you said, for 7 years, and it wasn't a good farm system when he got here, but we all thought, well, at least he's going to replenish the farm system, right? No. 29th? Worse. They were worse. All right, I'm going to go off the Giants in just a second to show you this catch yesterday. And I'm going to go out and say that I think this might be the best pitcher catch of all time. I mean, he almost got killed, but it was unbelievable. And then the fact that his dad was in the stands and they showed him is pretty good. So let me just double check on the chat that people are talking away. Let's see. Need to have a Pat Burrell conversation. Yeah, and like I said, I love Pat. Pat's a great guy. But this many guys struggling, it's like, wait a minute. I mean, it just becomes logic. Like, that's like when I kept saying over the last couple of weeks, clearly it was Harrison that needed to go. He was still a well thought of enough piece that he could lead a trade. Now, I didn't think it was going to be a trade of this magnitude, but it was clear, writing was on the wall, that Harrison, they were going to have to trade excess pitching, and Harrison was going to be the guy to go. And this is the same thing with hitting. Okay, we just got – okay, hitting has struggled. Now we get Devers. Now they're going to – look, it's not going to be today or tomorrow, but over the next couple of weeks, if the hitting doesn't come around, look, you just got one of the best hitters in the game, and the offense is still struggling. It's a process. Everything is a process. Okay, we're struggling at first base. Okay, we're going to try everything we can, and we bring in a Dominic Smith, and then, okay, we trade for Devers. Then we go outside of the organization. Like, organizations have a process of things. And as far as the offense is concerned – they're going through a process, right? Well, the latest thing is they just got themselves one of the best bats in baseball to play first base. That's solved. Now, if the bats don't come around now, then it's like, well, we're not – okay, last resort is firing the manager, right? Well, he's – Bob Melvin's way down here on the list, and it's like we're going through things. And we're here at Devers and adding a great bat. And now it's like, okay, we did that. The offense is still not great. And I'm not saying – don't get me wrong. I'm saying this in a long-term fashion kind of way. I'm not saying it as of today. They got Devers on Sunday. You know, he played on Monday. Like, whoa, today's Saturday. Hang on. We're not saying it's happening today. But a couple of weeks from now, if they're scoring one, two, you know, three runs a game, they're not going over that magic four mark. Let's say that, you know, it's a 10-game, 12-game stretch, and they've scored over four like once or twice. The organization's going to have to sit down and go, look, man, we love Pat. We need a new voice. Like, this ain't working. We can reassign him as a, you know, roving hitting instructor, whatever the case may be. We love Pat. He did that before. He was good at it. But somebody else has got to come in here. They got to hear a different voice. Something's got to change. Okay, that then they do that. Okay, that doesn't work. You know, and then just the pecking order goes down the line. But we're getting close to the point where they're going to have a conversation if all these sticks aren't working. It's not one or two. It's a lot of them. The majority of the sticks in this lineup are not playing to the back of their baseball card. And that becomes a problem. All right. Let me play this for you. Let's see. Okay. All right. Let me play this for you. Now, look, maybe I'm going overboard here, but I don't think I am. This catch by Matthew Boyd to the Cubs, who's been a really nice sign for them, came over from the Tigers, been very good. But as far as comebackers are concerned, this is pretty damn good. I'd have to maybe put this at the top of the list. We'd have to have a conversation about it. But the cooler part is his dad's in the lineup, and you can read his lips pretty easily. So is this the greatest comebacker catch of all time?
Oh, out. Oh, my goodness, he caught it. Wow.
Full backflip. .104.7, no problem for Matthew Boyd in your living room. Look out.
What here comes
a
dad.
Play. He can pitch. He can hit.
Dad fuck yeah. Loves it. See dad there at the end? Fuck yeah. First of all, let me play dad again, all right? Let me just play dad. Dad dropping the F-bomb.
He can pitch. He can hit. Dad
drops
loves
a fuck
it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to play this again for you. You heard that was a Boog Shambi and Marquee Sports, which carries the Cubs, and they act like they don't have any money. They've got their own sports network, but that's beside the point. The ball comes back at 104.7 miles per hour. And look, there's an element of luck to this. There's no question about it. But 104.7 back of the kid. And the reason dad's so jacked up is he thought he was going to have to run down on the field like it was Little League and his kid was going to be bleeding from the head. I mean, he doesn't get the glove up. He's done. Like, he's done for the year, maybe. Sorry, I'm talking. Let me start this again. Again, 104.7 back at the head.
Oh, out. Oh, my goodness, he caught it. Wow. Full backflip. .104.7, no problem for Matthew Boyd in your living room. Look out. What a play. He can pitch. He can hit.
Dead F-bombs.
Dad loves it.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know how you get better than that. The ball is almost 105 miles per hour back at your face. You get the glove up. You catch it. You do like a Michael Jackson off the mound, and then dad drops an F yeah. Like, what else you want? Plus, I mean, can we be honest? I love a lot of the Giants uniforms, whatever. They're great and all that kind of stuff. These uniforms. It's a hell of a catch. But watch when he comes off the field. I'm just a big fan of these old Royals, Cardinals, those kind of things. Look at the top there. That's their City Connects this year. Those are pretty sick. And I'm generally I hate everything as far as, like, I like tradition. That's a pretty sick uniform at the same time. So all around, pretty good.
104.7, no problem for Matthew Boyd in your living room. Look out.
104.7.
What a play.
And then dad nails it.
She can hit. Dad loves it.
All right, there you go. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Plus, he saves his own life. He doesn't get his glove up there. That 105 is straight to the side of the face, maybe into the temple. I mean, I'm not kidding, man. I'm not saying maybe he dies, but hell, if he dies, he dies. But if he gets hit there, out. Knockout, blood. Dad's running on the field. Conversely, gets the glove up. Dad drops an F yeah, and the guy goes, you know, moonwalking off the mound. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty close to maybe the best comebacker catch of all time. Like, you thought I was just like, come on, you're just saying that Lund so we hang around. I mean, honestly, how does it get better? I mean, I'm talking about the whole ball of wax. Like, he, you know, the uniform's pretty sick, makes the catch, saves his own life, moonwalks a little bit. Dad, plus Boog Shambi's call is great, and then dad finishes off with an F yeah. Like, pretty good. I mean, all things considered, pretty good. Cat-like reflexes. Yeah, there you go. I mean, seriously, that's ridiculous. Me or you, I'd be like, it would have hit my head, bounced off, spurted blood, and then I would have put my glove up. Like, you got to be kidding me. Olavan, did you see that? What do you think, Walter? that the best comebacker catch of all time? Walter's a baseball aficionado. He knows. Well, yeah, passion for the pastime, everybody. Make sure that you subscribe to Passion for the Pastime. That is my friend Walter, who it's okay, man. It's maybe connected, you know, has contacted me like once or twice since I was so unceremoniously let go at KBR. Maybe once or twice is all I've heard from Walter, but it's okay. No big deal. No problem, Walter. I'm still, it's cool, man. We're fine. yeah, it sounds like 104.7 does sound like a radio system. I mean, balls flying back at him at 105 miles an hour. I mean, are you kidding me? I got to play it again because I think Walter just got here. He didn't even see it. Oh, there's Dad. Hold on. I got to play this from the beginning. One more time. It won't hurt anybody.
Oh! Out. Oh, my goodness. He caught it. Wow!
Full backflip.
Does a Michael Jackson. Flips the ball to somebody.
Seven, no
sick uniform.
For Matthew Boyd. Into your living
look at this.
Room. Look out.
That fast.
What a play. You can pitch.
There's Dad.
He can hit.
F yeah.
Dad loves it.
That's pretty good. I mean, all things considered. I'm going to go ahead and call that the best comebacker catch of all time, everything considered. It's pretty good. yeah, Walter's a slacker, man. That's what it is. That's just what he is. He probably already left. He doesn't even know where to make fun of him anymore. That's what it is. That's just what he's doing. All right, anything else today? Cubs pitcher catch, random things. We just stopped by for an hour on Saturdays. You know how Saturdays work. We just kind of hit a few things, and then we jump out of here. But that's pretty good. Let's see what else. Anything else today on the Giants today? Anything? If I'm going to predict something, because I gave you the predictions yesterday, they had a whole sheet of predictions on how Devers would do this weekend. So I think it was four hits over under, a home run over under. He's going to hit a home run today and get two hits. There you go, home run and two hits. Bet on it. And if you do bet on it, you should bet against me because that's how people make a bunch of money, actually, to be completely, completely honest with you. So there you go. All right, I think that is it for today. Trent Baalke. We have a Trent. He's got a bad knee. Really a bad knee injury. I can't do a Baalke like he can. He does a much better Baalke than me. All right, I think that is it for today. Thank you for hanging out for an hour. For us. Yeah, of course, everybody misses me down there, man. Everybody's always reaching out. Walter, every once in a while, if you need something, he lets me know. But anyway, Bebop Jones, I hadn't seen you in a while. Very nice to see you, my friend. I think that'll do it for a Saturday edition of the show. Remember, please make sure you subscribe to John Lund Unleashed. Hit that like button, please, before you get out of here. Keep those alerts on today because I got a few things that I need to send out, and you'll get them if you have your alerts on. If you're a Lund loyalist, you get everything first because I send those first. And then I wait for a while to send it out to everybody else. Make sure Bay Area Sports Collective, you see that big B, please make sure they hit that up as well. That would be absolutely tremendous if you could hit Bay Area Sports Collective. And we were on X today at John Lund Radio. So put your comments underneath the show either now or a little bit later. Maybe you're watching this thing back. We'll put this on a podcast right after I get out of here within minutes. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We will be back. If, you know, there's something to talk about today during the game, we always do live stuff, breaking news all day, and I always send out different things as well, so make sure that you're hanging around with things. John Joseph, it is good to see you, my friend. Very nice to see you. I know you're jumping in here late, but I appreciate it today. What else do we got today? Yeah, Chapman versus Devers. That'll be good. You got to be honest, man. Chapman kind of had his up and downs in his career. I mean, he's been very, very good, but the dude is still throwing like 102 miles an hour. That's sick, man. Dude is really, really sick. So anyway, all right, that'll do us for a Saturday edition of the show. Subscribe, like, keep those alerts on. Make sure you hit Bay Area Sports Collective as well as John Lund Unleashed. Everybody have a tremendous Saturday. We'll either talk to you today, later, send out some stuff to you, and then Monday at 9 o'clock.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!